Hello, and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life the way it was meant to be and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey, a journey that has taken us into the month of May 2021. And Roger, we've got a new four-part series lined up.
We do. Back in November, we did a special series about some of our songs. We had hymns that dealt with thankfulness. And at the end of each podcast, we played a specific hymn. And we did that for you to kind of learn the hymn and kind of sing along, and had such great, great response from everyone. We want to do that again, but we're going to make a little twist on this one. In the book of Colossians in chapter 3 and in verse 16, the apostle says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Singing is an avenue of teaching, and teaching comes about in several different forms. One form of teaching is asking questions. And so what we're going to do the month of May is we're going to look at some of our hymns that ask us a question. And we're going to just try to look at that question and deal with that question in that way. And so just to kind of launch this, today we're going to talk about the hymn, "Is It For Me?" At the end of this podcast, that song will be played. And we encourage you to stay with that and to sing along with that, because it's just a wonderful, wonderful concept behind that. The song was written by Frances Havergal. She was born in England in 1836, and she died at the young age of 42 in the year 1879. She wrote lots and lots of hymns. A couple other hymns that we sing that some of you may know is "Take My Life and Let It Be," or "I Gave My Life for Thee." Those are several of her hymns. At the end of her life, a school was established bearing her name. And she kind of became very known throughout England for her hymn writing and several of her poems. But we're going to focus on this hymn that she wrote, "Is It For Me?" That alone is a question. And the very first line says, "Is it for me, dear Savior, thy glory and thy rest? For me, so weak and so sinful, oh, shall I be so blessed?" And I think what's being asked in those questions is simply this idea that God is so good and God is so holy. And when we look at ourselves, we're not. And it's the idea of our worth. We do not deserve the sacrifice of Jesus. We're not worthy of heaven itself. And sometimes that causes a problem. I mean, God wants to bestow all these blessings upon us. He wants to forgive us. He wants to change us. He wants to take us to heaven forever. And we look at ourselves and say, "I don't deserve this." And that's really the right answer. We don't deserve this, not at all. And what we're going to see through this is some great things the Bible teaches in that regard.
Yeah, the same question continues essentially in verse 2. "Is it for me thy welcome, thy gracious enter in? For me thy come ye blessed, for me so full of sin." One of the things that just fascinates me, I mean, here is a woman who lived 170 years ago, essentially, and yet she is grappling with and leading singers through this question. Roger, I know you have heard, just like I have heard, time and time and time again, someone, they have their heart touched by the gospel. Maybe they tag you on their way out of the auditorium, and you can tell that something is really weighing on them. They want to talk to you. They don't want to do it in a foyer full of people. They ask maybe if they could come by your office on Monday or Tuesday. And they sit down and they voice in their own words this very question. Can I really, with everything that I have done, get in on this? This is a question people have grappled with for millennia.
And we may rephrase it simply this way: I don't feel like I'm a good enough Christian. And that causes lots of issues. For some, they see the Lord up on a mountaintop, and we're down in the very depths of the valley, and there's just no way. There's just no way, so why even try? And some give up. And what we need to see is some passages in the Bible that gives us the hope why God will bestow such things upon us. And, you know, one of the first passages that comes to my mind is Matthew 8, when this centurion had a crippled slave, and he wanted Jesus to heal him. And Jesus said, I'll come to your place. And the centurion says in verse 8, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. That could be said of all of us. Lord, we're not good enough people. We remember when Peter was fishing and he recognized it was the Lord. And he says, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. That's all of us in that regard. And so how do we build that bridge? How do we get this idea that we're so unworthy and yet God wants to do all these things for us? Well, it's not based on us, and it's not based upon our goodness. It's based upon the love of God and the mercy of God and the graciousness of God. John 3:16, God so loved the world is a great passage that reminds us of where God is on these things. But I want to look at another verse real quickly. It's in the book of Titus, in Titus chapter 3. And again, Titus helps us to see these things where as he talks about our salvation and the goodness that we are found in him, it talks about how God has saved us. He says in verse 5, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I think sometimes we get this wrong image that like God's walking down the street one day and we're these cute little puppies in a pet shop window jumping up and down, and God just stops and says, look how adorable those people are. Oh, they're so cute. I've got to take them home. That's not the way we are.
Not at all.
We've rebelled. We've broken his heart. We've shamed him. We've disregarded his rules. We've lived a selfish life. And so we are not worthy. We're not worthy. But the goodness and the graciousness and the love of God, that's beyond our understanding. You know, Paul talked about the riches and the depth of his love. It's beyond comprehension. While we were yet sinners, Romans 5, verse 8, God would save someone like us. It's not because we started getting better. It's not because we cleaned up our act. But while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. And so we are not worthy, but God is so good. And God's willing to forgive, and God's willing to rebuild us and change us and help us. That's the hope we have. Is it for me? The answer is yes. It's for all of us. And that's what we need to see. I'm reminded also in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, when John, as he begins this great visionary book, hears a voice. It says in verse 12 of chapter 1, he turns around to see who it is. And in descriptive language, it's describing Jesus. It talks about the sash he was wearing. His head and his hair was white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, it says. In his right hand was a seven stars. And then it says in verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. Why? Because he realized he's standing in the presence of the Holy God. But the verse says, he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. And so we will fall at his feet, realizing we are so unworthy. But he puts his hand on us, saying, I invited you.
Yeah, and I think that's a great transition, maybe to the flip side of this whole thing. When it comes to, is it for me? I think there are two ditches that are easy to fall in on either side of this God-defined path. On one is that sense of crippling unworthiness. Maybe I have been trying to walk with Jesus as a Christian, but as you put it earlier, Roger, I'm not sure I'm a good enough Christian. Well, I'll never be a good enough Christian to be qualified
to be heaven bound. Or maybe even it's before that. I'm not even sure I'm worthy to answer the gospel call in order to be added to the Lord's church. That's one side. And what we want you to hear loud and clear from those passages Roger has shared is the gospel is for all. No one is so far gone that the grace of God cannot transform and sanctify, cleanse their life. Now, on the other side of that road, Roger, actually, you touched on this, a powerful parable of Jesus warning us about the other side of the road where God sure is lucky to have me on his team, right? Sunday night, you took us back to that famous parable of a tax collector and a Pharisee, and the tax collector is right where he needs to be. He would not even lift up his eyes, but was praying, not just to himself, but praying to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, that man went to his house more than heard. He was justified. Meanwhile, you've got a tax collector, or a Pharisee, I should say, who would resoundingly say, well, is it for me? Of course it is for me. Look at everything that I am doing. Both ditches on that side of this is it for me question are really important to avoid. And that's what I love about the chorus of this song. O Savior, my Redeemer. Here's another question. What can I but adore and magnify and praise thee and love thee evermore? I think the hymn writer nails it here that the hero of the is it for me question is not me. It is God. And when I come to experience his grace and his mercy and his transforming power, what a great question. What can I but adore and magnify and praise you and love you forevermore? That's what Paul in Romans chapter 12 is led by the Spirit to describe as our rational service or our reasonable service. Having spent 11 chapters presenting the matchless gospel of Jesus, in Romans 12, verse 1, he pivots and says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. Is it for me? Well, by the mercies of God, yes, it is. But now what? Well, now I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, or some English translations render that your spiritual worship. I think this journey that this hymn is taking us on is reminding us, first of all, I am absolutely unworthy, but God's grace reaches me, and now, as a child of God, the rest of my life is to be all about adoring and magnifying, praising, serving this God of all grace.
You know, I think maybe a sad parallel, because it's not even close, but you know, here's a 16-year-old kid, and for his birthday, his mom and dad buy him a brand new car. And did he deserve it? And he just turned 16 years old. That's all. I mean, all he did was live. And they get this brand new car, and the kid within the first week trashes it and wrecks it. He did not appreciate it. So here we have in this hymn, we're not deserving, but God gives it to us. Now that we have it, as Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 9, this indescribable gift, what do we do with it? What we do with it is we honor it and treasure it and cherish it and thank our God for it. And so we spend a lifetime following God because of this. The extremes in this would be, you know, we take it for granted and we become kind of arrogant because we're going to heaven, and we don't honor, we don't protect our faith, we don't grow our faith, we don't use our faith toward God. And so are we worthy? Never, ever. And it's not because I haven't missed a Sunday in the past year. It's not because I do this, I do this, I do this. The church needs me because of none of those things. None of those things even get close. None of us are worthy of heaven. None of us deserve to be there. If we got what we deserve, we wouldn't like it. Okay. Yeah. So, but having bestowed this gift upon us, what we need to do with that and how we need to be so thankful, so spiritual, so God-driven and God-focused because of what he's done for us.
Yeah. It struck me, Roger, when you were telling us about Francis Havergal, who wrote this hymn. She passed away at the age of 42. I am 42 years old. And that really, when you hear about someone passing away at that age, that makes you stop and think. But also, I mean, that list of hymns and so many others that we could offer. She was a prolific writer. But just think about the fact that this woman who lived 170 plus years ago served God, wrote something so beautiful that continues to teach and inspire and encourage us even today. That's an awesome thought.
It is. And I dare say if most of us just heard that name, Francis Havergal, we'd say, oh, who's that?
Yeah.
We don't, but we know this hymn.
We know the hymn.
And we know this hymn because this hymn is really our hymn. You know, all of us could have written this in our own way. All of us are unworthy. All of us have been offered the opportunity by God. All of us need to follow God. I mean, this is our story, as the prodigal son is our story. And so, but you know, a lesson for me I see in this is, you know, we're not told how long we're going to live. But to honor God, here's a woman who really, I think, lived what this hymn says. And she honored God the best way she could, and using her talents. She didn't become a famous rock and roll singer, though they didn't have rock and roll back then. But, you know, she wrote hymns. And what she did is she honored her God using her talents. So should we all. So should we all.
As Roger mentioned, in just a moment, we're actually going to play you a recording of a congregational singing of this hymn. And so stay tuned for just a moment. Lord willing, next Friday, we'll have another hymn that asks a very important question. And we look forward to talking through it with you. But in the meantime, Roger, thank you for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope that it has helped you set your mind on things above, giving you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, is it for me? Yes, when you're walking with Jesus, it is for you. You are heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.